Welcome to the What's Important Now broadcast. In America today, we are witnessing a cultural shift. This is the show devoted to the battle for the soul of our country. Join our host, Tom Sears, as he explains the issues of our day. And join the fight to bring values and morality back. Let's join Tom now as he shares what's important now.
Fighting to bring values and morality back to this great nation. Welcome to the What's Important Now radio broadcast. I am Tom Sears. Thanks for joining us here today. I've been contemplating about time, thinking about time. As you know, it seems to pass so swiftly. Before we get into that, welcome. Our email address, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Find us online, whatsimportantnowradio.com. whatsimportantnowradio.com. You can also find us. You can listen to this program literally all over the place. iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker.com, PodPoint. The list goes on and on. blogtalkradio.com/actionministries. We've changed our location. You can still find archive messages at blogtalkradio.com/what's important now. Okay, let's get right into it. Time. I think it was the time is on my side. Well, there's no truth to that. Truth is, time is quickly passing, swiftly passing. And we need to grab a hold of it, make the most of it, use it. It seems today that as we continue to experience this cultural decay, this deviation from morality and from virtue, I think as we take on this battle, and make no mistake, the battle is on, as we fight this battle, in my mind, time is one of the greatest issues that we face. Let me explain. I was recently observing how sports has changed our country. Now hear me for a second. I am a sports guy. I coach multiple sports. Love it. It's a huge part of my life. The athletes that I coach, they're a big, big part of my life. And I feel very honored to participate in those activities with them. But I also see it from another point of view. And I look at it from the perspective of when you look around churches on Sundays, there are families who are not in attendance, and I know this because I pastor. There are families who are not in attendance, and they're not in attendance because they're attending the next sporting event. And we live in a culture today where we tell ourselves, and I think we say this to make ourselves feel better, but we tell ourselves that the church is not just a building. And that's true. Oh, it's so true. Absolutely, it's true. The church is not just a building. But as we find in the Word of God, that it's also very clear that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it says, especially as we see that day approaching, I would argue that if we open our eyes, we can tell things have definitely changed. But anyway, I'll leave that there for now. Time. How many times have you said, if I only had more time? So then it comes down to priorities. And so what the message that we send to our youth is, the next sporting event, basketball, soccer, whatever it may be, the next sporting event is more important than church. And so we begin down this journey where we begin to have the conversations. We will take a moment later today. We'll sit down. Come on, I'm telling the truth today. We'll read the Bible together. We'll say a prayer together. And that may be something that is done for some time. But because we are living in a deception, we are telling ourselves that it's not important. Those things quickly fade away. Sure, there may be families out there that are far more disciplined than those I am describing right now. God bless you. But the truth is, the large majority, they drift. They drift. And we begin teaching our children at a very young age what priorities are. Priorities are making that next goal, participating in that next game, that next match, that next event. Now, I'm fully aware this is not going to be a popular message. Fully aware of that. I'm just grateful that I never signed up for a popularity contest, because I speak truth as I see it. Let me rewind for a second. If it's true that our culture is in decay, if it is true that, and I think most everyone agrees, times are definitely different, they are definitely changing. If it is true that society is not as kind as it once used to be, you know, we all have often heard the stories of how we could go to bed with our doors and windows unlocked or open. I don't know anyone that's going to do that today. I'm not going to do that because I don't trust people. And there's been a breakdown in culture. Now, am I blaming the Sunday sporting event for that? Excuse me. Am I blaming the Sunday sport? No, not directly. No, I'm blaming time. I'm blaming priorities. I'm blaming the fact that we have decided in this country that other things are more important than the moral building, virtue building concepts. And it's the truth that our founding fathers and those who went before us knew this. They warned us of this, as a matter of fact. So I'm not blaming the Sunday sporting event. I am blaming priorities. I'm blaming how we choose to use our time. The truth is, I'm going to make a statement. We say we have no time, but we do not have a time problem. We have a desire problem. Our priorities are out of line. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again, your children are going to be you in 20 years. For those of you that are parenting young children, they're going to be you. You're conducting training camp right now. And so I think that it's important for us to take a step back and begin to evaluate how we spend our time. All of us. I'm very reflective. I do this all the time. I'm constantly searching my heart and my life to find out what needs to go, what needs to stay. And I've got some work to do. So I'm not here telling you that, you know, shame on you. What I'm saying is that I think we, if we want to see America back to where it was, we need to evaluate this thing called time. Church has become, I go if I have time. And because our relationship with Christ is not a priority, well, we never have time. So let's spin this a little bit, or turn it, I should say. In a world where there's 24 hours in one day, that's 1,440 minutes, that's 86,400 seconds, how do we make the most of our time? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The thing is that our lives are so busy. They're so stressful. They're so involved. You know, talk about sports, talk about athletics, talk about academics. When your kids get into high school, it's like your world just goes crazy because you're running here and there and going to this and doing that. And it's difficult to find ways to manage our time, but that's exactly what we must do. We must learn to manage it. And we, as a Christian, we cannot lose sight of this concept of managing time, because the truth is the time is not ours. It's God's. And so he's calling us to manage it in an appropriate way. And you can manage that. You can do that by saying, what will the result of this activity be in, you know, a couple of years, 5 years, 10 years? And then ultimately, what will the result of this activity be, or what will it mean for eternity? Now, one of the greatest things that I have learned in my life is the ability to say no. When I started my bachelor's program, my college mentor said to me, she said, Tom, and this was like the first meeting when she was asking me about myself, she was able to pick up on this. She said, I can already tell you have a difficult time setting boundaries and saying no. She's absolutely correct. I have gotten better since that day many years ago, but I'm not perfect. I still can't say no at times. And that's a very key concept. If you want to talk about managing your time, you must learn to say no before you take on a project, before you do this, before you do that. And I know this is going to sound like really insane, but it didn't used to sound insane to the Christian. Before you do anything, pray. It sounds radical, right? When we're like, we just pray about everything. And everybody's like, well, you're just being too radical. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. See, these are the things we've told ourselves. And because we've told ourselves these things, we don't know what God wants us to do with our time. People are making decisions without ever consulting the one that gives them the time. I hope that makes sense to you today. Here's another thing. This is something that I definitely need to work on. And that's make sure you set aside a day of rest. Make sure you're resting. Make sure you set aside a time to rest. Because it's a very basic concept that goes all the way back to the beginning, that God worked for 7 days, and then guess what he did? He rested. And I've often heard it said, and I agree, that if he rested, we should rest as well. The truth is, one time my college mentor, because I said to her, I was late on an assignment, and she was like, well, what did you do with your time? I'm like, I don't have time. I'm doing this, 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 and this. And I am a very, very, very busy person. I said, I don't have time. And she said, I bet you do. I was like, I bet I don't. And she said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to chart what you do. And guess what I found out? As I began to chart what I did on a daily basis, guess what I found I had? I had more time than I thought I had. And so I challenge you, if you feel like you have no time in your day, chart what you're doing. Chart it, look at it, say, you know what, I do have time. Because we often say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. Listen, if we're going to fight this battle of bringing morality and virtues back, virtues being high morality or high moral standards, if we're going to bring that back to this country, if we're going to bring it back into our lives, into our homes, to our schools, into our communities, into our government, we're going to have to find time to pray. And not just when tragedy comes, not just when tragedy strikes, but we're going to have to find time to pray. Because what you'll find is that as you begin to manage your time, you're going to be more productive. You're going to find you have more time than you think. And I don't know, I'm about rhythm. It kind of gets you into a rhythm. Plan your week. Put your task in a priority sheet. If you multitask, do it with a purpose. You know, I'm thinking as a coach, I tell players all the time, don't just move, move with a purpose. Don't just do that, do it with a purpose. Don't shortcut anything. Don't cut corners. Ask for help if you need it. Celebrate individual goals. little goals. Maybe some of you procrastinate. Maybe you should change that to organizing your day. Then maybe the night before or the week before or however that goes. And then keep your mind on God. Have those timely thoughts. Meaning, don't allow your mind to go to a place that's not productive. Now, we're all about setting goals and having resolutions and doing all these things that we do as human beings that we forget about. But I want to challenge you today. Manage your time. Manage it appropriately. Maximize your productivity. Take what you have and make the most of it, because what you have, well, it's not yours anyway. Changing the format of the program a little bit, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's our American Heroes in Christ segment, and then we're going to finish the program out with a very hard-hitting That's a Fact segment. Stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Tom, and during the break, I would like to give you a bit of a history lesson. We call this Basics in American History. Now, as always, we present American history the way it's supposed to be presented. Fact, no liberal twist, no fiction. As the world continues to debate amongst themselves about whether we are a Christian nation or not, we've decided to give you the facts and then let you decide. So let's move into today's lesson. I want to focus my attention on John Adams. John Adams was the first vice president of the United States, serving under George Washington, and he was the second president of the United States, serving from 1797 to 1801. I want to examine some of our second president's words, his own words, and try to get a grasp or put into place where he stood on the issue of our nation being a Christian nation. In a letter to Thomas Jefferson on June 28, 1813, John Adams wrote, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and the attributes of God." On the eve of the Revolutionary War, after a British major ordered John Adams, John Hancock, and those with them to disperse in the name of George, the Sovereign King of England, April 18, 1775, John Adams had this to say: "We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but Jesus." In another letter to Thomas Jefferson on December 25, 1813, John Adams had this to say: "I have examined all religions, as well as my narrow sphere, my straitened means, and my busy life would allow. And the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. It contains more philosophy than all the libraries I have seen." And in yet another letter to Thomas Jefferson, dated April 19, 1817, John Adams wrote, "Without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean hell." Those words are the words of our second president, John Adams. That's today's Basics in American History.
Welcome to the What's Important Now program. We are fighting for the soul of America and tackling the tough topics. Now let's join your host, international evangelist and veteran radio host, Tom Sears.
And we are moving right along here on the What's Important Now broadcast. I want to shift gears. A segment that I would like to become a permanent fixture here on our program. This program now has been airing since 2003, and this was something that I don't know, several years into the program that I used to do all the time. And, sometimes it's best to go back to the old paths. And so that's where we are. This segment is called American Hero in Christ. In a time in which there seems to be no judicial restraint, today's American Hero in Christ could teach a lot of judges a lot of things. John Jay was born on December 12, 1745, in New York City, New York. He attended a boarding school at the age of 8 and, amazingly enough, went to King's College, which is now Columbia. He attended at the age of 14. He graduated with the highest of honors in 1764. John Jay was admitted to the Bar of New York in 1768. In the year 1774, he attended the First Continental Congress as the second youngest member at the age of 28 years old. John Jay was dedicated to the success and survival of this nation. He gave his entire life to it. As today's American Hero in Christ, we take an individual that has had an impact on this nation after having been impacted by Jesus Christ. John Jay's credentials speak for themselves. He was a member of the New York Constitutional Convention, the first Chief Justice of New York, and was elected President of the Continental Congress. Minister to Spain, Minister of Peace to Great Britain, Secretary of Foreign Affairs, but his most important role was being the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. In 1789, President George Washington appointed John Jay to this new federal position, with a Supreme Court today that says that there is a wall that should separate the church from the state. John Jay saw it differently. Let's look at the father of the Supreme Court, John Jay's words. He said, quote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of the rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for the rulers." End of quote. John Jay believed that Christian voters had an obligation to put Christian leaders in office. He knew that if Christians failed to do that, this nation would become a heathen nation. Our leaders should take a look at John Jay and see how he conducted his life and how his life was impacted by Jesus Christ. John Jay was governor of New York from 1797 to 1801. He became ill, and he had to turn down President John Adams' request to once again serve on the Supreme Court. Having served his country for over 55 years, John Jay died on May 17, 1829, at the age of 84. Even though the last three generations of Americans have not been told the truth about our American history, and I guess maybe that's four generations now at this point, John Jay is a reminder of how we, in fact, are a nation founded on Jesus Christ. Even though liberalism continues to misinform the American public by attacking our Christian heritage, John Jay knew this nation was founded on Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we are a nation that seems to be exchanging our national motto from "In God We Trust" to "In Man We Trust." John Jay knew we must do our job and elect godly leaders. We haven't done that, at least not all the time. And ladies and gentlemen, there will surely be a price to pay for that. But today, we salute the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay, as our American Hero in Christ. I was taken aback by some of the comments from a newly elected congresswoman directed towards our president, and it made me think of John Jay. John Jay is, in fact, an American hero in Christ. Well, we're going to finish out today's program with a very hard-hitting segment called "That's a Fact." Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's commonly said that America is better off today than it ever was. Liberal voices are proclaiming that a godless society is, in fact, what is best for our country. Now, with the cloud of darkness and decay that hangs over our nation today, one would have to wonder why we continue to travel down the same road. The truth is, not everyone recognizes the truth as the truth. Now, there's a point in American history that I believe we can point to and say that this was a major step away from everything that was right about our country. The United States of America is considered by many the most blessed nation on the face of the planet. And we have overcome so much, we've come through so much, and the Union has stayed together. You can study history of this great nation all the way back from the Bill of Divorcement, known as the Declaration of Independence, through the American Revolution, up to the Civil War and on. And we see that this was a nation that was built on faith, faith in God. But on June 25th, 1962, this nation took a huge step in the wrong direction. We took a step away from the faith of previous generations. Now, since the founding of our nation, children everywhere were allowed to pray. They were not only allowed to pray in school, they were permitted to do so. They were encouraged to do so. But on that day, June 25th, 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that prayer had to be removed from the public school classroom. Now, since that day, America has without a doubt experienced decline in morality, and specifically amongst our youth. Some say, well, it's an unfortunate coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, so nope, that's not it. The decline can be directly linked to the fact that this nation, once a God-fearing, once a God-loving, once a praying, once a Bible-reading nation, took a huge step in withholding from our young people the only thing that will ever get them through the pressures of this life, and that is relationship in Jesus Christ through prayer. Jesus said in his word, "Let the little children come to me. Forbid them not." America, this once blessed country, blessed by the hand of Almighty God, has taken a step that will trouble us for a long time, maybe forever. America is now forbidding the children. Here are some statistics to prove it's not a coincidence. Since that day in 1962, SAT scores have dropped dramatically. The hours of watching TV has increased dramatically. The divorce rate has skyrocketed dramatically. Teenagers involving themselves in sexual activity has increased dramatically. Violence, including rape and murder, they're out of control. Abortions, well, it was just reported that last year, 42 million abortions were conducted. It led the world as the number one cause of death. That's well over 3,000 per day. Suicide rates are out of control. Depression, out of control. Billions and billions of dollars are spent every year on pornography. So you may ask, is it just a coincidence? I say no. Our founding fathers knew that this nation would not survive without the principles that we once held so dear. What will it take to turn things around? I believe a return to the values of old. As long as we continue to let the dust settle on our Bibles and we never pick them up to read, we will never see anything change. You see the answer? It's right there. And that's a fact. I want to thank you for being a part of our program today. Fast-moving, hard-hitting, what's important now? I want to encourage you, as always, to fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. I thank you for joining us here. Don't forget, our email address is whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Visit us online, whatsimportantnowradio.com. Plus, Listen to us on all kind of platforms online. Thanks for being here. God bless. Until next time, this has been What's Important Now.